everyone. Welcome back to Who's There. I'm your host, Allison. If you're new here, thank you for joining us. This is a podcast where I talk to a new horror fan every week because I hope to destigmatize what it means to be a horror movie fan. Because most of us are just regular people who like the adrenaline rush of being scared for some reason, and here we delve into those reasons. Is it spring where you are right now? It's finally kind of sort of looking like spring here in New York City, and I hope things are also warming up wherever you are because it's very nice after such cold weather. Anyways, this week I'm excited to share an episode with horror lit connoisseur Amber Roy. The South Carolina native told me the first horror movie she ever watched and what she gets out of watching horror as an adult nowadays. We discussed her all-time favorite horror authors, the 2024 novel she's most anticipating, and what subgenre of horror movie she just cannot watch ever at all. I'm doing a watch-along next month in honor of my birthday, and I'm letting you all pick the movie, and it's one that I've never seen, so there's a list on a Google form on Twitter, so make your voice heard over there. And if you want to join our Patreon, for as little as $1 a month, you can get access to early episode stickers, a monthly newsletter, and more. I'd love to have you over there. As always, please take a second to rate and review us wherever you listen, and let's get into my conversation with Amber Roy. Hey, Amber, how are you?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm good. Thank you so much for being here. Do you want to start by telling everyone a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, of course. So I'm Amber Roy. I am by day a in-house attorney. So not a fun attorney. I'm not in the courtroom, but I am reviewing contracts often. But then by night, I'm into all kinds of things spooky. So big reader, definitely a big horror reader, and also big horror movie and TV show fan.
Awesome. So first things first, what's your favorite scary movie?
Oh, so I have two, and I don't know if one counts as scary, but I'm still going to say it. So definitely Scream. I think Scream really kind of, to me, like, shaped how I saw horror movies. I really love it. I love Sydney. I even like all the other Scream movies. I know that might be a little bit controversial. And then I also really love Midsommar. I mean, I know some people might not consider that a scary movie, but I really enjoyed Midsommar. I don't know if that's a weird thing to say given the subject matter, but yeah, I really think Scream and Midsommar would be my top two.
Those are great picks. I know a lot of people who would say that Midsommar is just a mind fuck. So that's definitely a scary movie. I think that's a lot scarier than like Beau is Afraid, though I know a lot of people would say that Beau is Afraid was terrifying to them. So
yeah, different. I think it really depends on like what you find disturbing. And so I recently watched Hereditary for the first time and I was like, this isn't too creepy. I mean, it's creepy, but it's not too scary. And then I got to the end and I was like, okay, I get it. Like it took till the end for me to be like, okay, yeah, I am pretty disturbed. But up until that point, I was like, fine. And I was watching it with my mom and she was like, this is terrifying. Like, I don't know how you're sitting here. So it was interesting to see like what kind of scares people and then like what they can tolerate in movies and what they can't.
Yeah, definitely. I own Hereditary and it's like, it's kind of a movie that I sometimes just throw on in the background. Like, I'm just like, I know what's going to happen. I know the beats. Yeah. And I always like looking for like little extra details that Ari Aster put in. So that's fun.
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, I know I've said it on episodes before, but Ari Aster just thinks of Hereditary as like a family drama. So
I could see that. I could see that. I was talking to, I don't know if you know Greg Green, but we were talking about it one night and I said, I'm going to have to rewatch this movie. I'm sure there's just so much I missed. And I think it's like you said, I'm sure every time you watch it, you can pick up details you didn't see before.
Totally. I rewatched it for the first time since seeing it in theaters at the beginning of lockdown. So that was fun.
Yeah, I can't imagine. That's one of those ones that I don't think I actually probably could have sat through in theaters just because of how like the pacing is. I think I don't know. That really probably would have really creeped me out, actually.
It was a roller coaster. It was a third and last date with a guy. So.
Oh, well, I hope the movie did not contribute to that.
Oh, I have no idea. I don't know. I never saw him again, but I got to see the movie in theaters. So I win.
That's very true.
So how did you first fall in love with the horror genre?
When I was little, I started reading Goosebumps books. I'm sure that's like a lot of entry for a lot of people and really liked Goosebumps, really liked Bunnicula and that whole series. And then in middle school, started picking up Fear Street from the local library and reading all the Fear Street series and Christopher Pike. And, you know, I actually, not until I was adult, realized that I was reading horror at the time. I kind of just thought, you know, all kids are reading these kinds of books. And I was talking to my husband and he's like, yeah, no, I was not picking up those books. There was something about them, honestly, probably the covers that drew me in. And I was like, oh, this is really interesting and really neat. And then, typical 90s kids, like, Are You Afraid of the Dark was really big with me when I was growing up too. But I never really thought of myself as like reading and watching horror until I was an adult and kind of looked back on it. But I will say that I've reread some of the Goosebumps books as an adult, and I'm like, these books are, they're not great. They're not very good. So it's been interesting to kind of look back on them. But as a child, I remember they just absolutely terrified me, and I loved it. I couldn't get enough of it.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I definitely read Goosebumps growing up. I never got into Fear Street or anything like that. I remember I did watch Are You Afraid of the Dark as well. I watched it every Saturday night. I vividly remember watching the very first episode, but I looked up when it premiered, and it premiered in like 1993, I think, and I was like 7. So I don't know why I was allowed to watch it, but I was, apparently.
Yeah,
So.
I remember being about that age too, like in like elementary school. Not I don't There's no way I was in middle school and watching it. So probably
Yeah.
just the best choice. And I'm really surprised that they haven't brought back Are You Afraid of the Dark yet for
Yeah.
the younger generation. Maybe they feel like they can get away with it. But that's something like I'm like, bring that back. Like, let's reboot that if we're gonna reboot some stuff.
Oh my God. Yeah, I would love to see what they would do with it. I own the whole series digitally.
Oh,
So,
cool. That's awesome.
a couple of years ago on Black Friday, Vudu was selling the entire series for $9.99 on Black Friday.
What a steal.
So,
That's really awesome.
yeah, it's fun. Some of it still holds up. So,
I didn't know that that was an option. I might have to look into that afterwards.
yeah.
I didn't know you could even like watch it now. So that's really cool.
Yeah. So, why do you think that people who seem perfectly sane love the horror genre?
Ooh, that's a great question. I think it's probably a good escape. And I also think that depending on what you're watching or reading for horror, the endings aren't always as grim as what people think they are. I think especially that's one of the kind of draws to slasher movies in particular, is that, you do end up seeing, hopefully, our final girl defeating evil. And I think it really gives you something to root for. But I know for me, particularly, like it's a good escape, especially if like, I'm having a bad anxiety day or things are kind of bad. It is like nice to kind of zone out and watch a scary movie. But okay, well, it could be a lot worse. Like I could be getting chased through the woods by someone.
That's a great answer. And I think I do the same thing. So, yeah, it's always nice to remember that whatever you're going through is not nearly as bad as what
Yeah.
people on screen are going through.
I agree. I am always shocked though when you tell people that you like horror, their kind of reaction by it, if they're not into the genre and they're kind of like, oh, like I didn't expect that from you. And it's like, what is that supposed to mean? Like everyone can enjoy and appreciate horror.
Yeah, and like you were saying before, like you didn't know you were reading horror books. I
Yeah.
grew up, I have all my movie ticket stubs from growing up, and like looking back at them, there's so many horror movies in those stubs, and like I didn't identify as a horror fan, which
Yeah.
sounds silly, but yeah. So it just,
It
I didn't choose this life, it chose me.
is. That's a great way to put it.
So what scares you in horror movies today?
I cannot do home invasion. So anything with home invasion, it's going to be a no for me. That just absolutely terrifies me. I'm the person, even when my husband's at home, I'm like, did you hear that noise? Is someone in the house? Like, I think the idea of someone catching me off guard when I'm kind of at my most vulnerable, which I feel like I am when I'm just at home relaxed, that is just really upsetting to me. So, I mean, yeah, and even being by myself, like that's just, I'm like, I'm never going to sleep again if I have to think about a home invasion.
Oh my God, I know. I once slept over one of my best friend's houses in New Jersey, and I live in New York City, so I hear sounds all the time, and they're never like anything scary. They're like sirens or whatever. But I was in trying to go to bed in the guest room, and I kept texting her. I was like, I heard something outside. She was like, it's the wind.
That is the worst feeling when you're in somewhere new and like the sounds of like the house settling or the wind or like something scraping the window. It's your mind where it can go is always so unsettling. Like even in our own house, if I sleep in like a guest room for a night, like we have visitors, I'm like, what is that noise? Like I've been in this house for so long. What am I hearing? The idea of like sitting down and watching that, just I can't do it.
So you're not going to go see The Strangers Part One this
I will
year?
not. I will not.
No.
And in fact, I have been seeing like the little teaser trailers on social media, and I'm like, that's going to be a hard nope. Like, I'm quickly like swiping up. I'm not going to do it.
Oh yeah, I saw the teaser trailer and I'm like, I'm really excited. So I saw the first one in theaters and I was like, I didn't go back to it until the pandemic, which is again a great idea. But
I always find it interesting. There's a social media account that will like basically spoil scary movies for you if you're too afraid to watch them. And so every time there's one that like I'm like, that subject matter does not seem for me. I'm like, I want to know what happens, but I don't want to watch the thing. And I think I'll probably do that with the strangers too.
Very reasonable. I do that sometimes. I did that with Human Centipede. So
Yeah, that's also going to be. I've never seen it and I probably never will, but more power to the people who see it and like it.
what is your favorite subgenre in horror?
Definitely. So I really love slashers, but I also really love like an ocean movie, like any kind of like shark, scary creature in the ocean. Like, sign me up. I really love those types of movies and books.
Nice. Would Crawl count as like a water movie?
I
It's
think
not in an
so.
ocean, but there's water. It's a hard
Yeah, I
crawl.
think so. I like any kind of like water movie is always interesting because I feel like you can't like water in itself is pretty scary by itself, especially like if you're in it and you don't know what's around. Like even a lake,
Yeah.
like lakes are like really creepy. You can usually not see through them, and like it's just like this huge body of water that's been sitting there. And I feel like that's just kind of unnerving. But then when you add in like knowing something's in there that's kind of out to get you, like that's not a good feeling. And then like water is an element. I mean, like you can't like those tsunami videos that you see, that's terrifying.
I do not see those, so I do not know what you're talking about.
Oh, so are you, so is water like one of the things that you're not gonna go out of your.
No, I'm not. I don't like the beach. I don't really go in the ocean. Lakes are kind of gross to me.
That's fair.
So
Yeah.
I always repeat what Natalie Portman's character says in Closer: "Fish pee in the sea."
Yeah,
So.
that's fair. That's fair, especially about lakes. I mean, they are really nasty. They're just breeding grounds for gross things.
I go on a summer yearly ro yoga retreat every summer in upstate New York, and there's a watering hole, and I went in it for the first time last summer, and I was like, I'm filthy. I was like, what am I waiting in? But
It's always so funny to me because when I was little, I never thought about water that way. And now as an adult, I'm like, what's in here? And like, I don't really want to get sick and have to go to the hospital. So I don't know. I'm
yeah.
surprised I haven't turned off the movie part of that, but maybe I still like experiencing it through a different lens.
Did we learn nothing from the movie Cabin Fever and
Right.
infected water?
Right.
And we've already gone over your least favorite subgenre, which is home invasion. So
Yes,
I think a
scary.
lot of people can relate to that. Who are your favorite horror directors?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't think I particularly have a favorite director, which probably isn't a very good answer, but I don't think I have a favorite, but on the opposite side, I don't have a person I dislike either. If it looks interesting, I'll watch it, and if it's by someone I like great, it kind of gives it like an automatic probably like more so I'm gonna see it. Yeah, I think I don't probably have a favorite director. Do you have one?
I think Mike Flanagan.
Yeah, that's good.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I feel like his stuff is really accessible too, which is great. Like anyone can watch it and not feel like they're just like, oh, this is really going to be not good. I feel like sometimes with directors, you're like, okay, this is going to be too extreme for me to like recommend to someone potentially. And I feel like Mike Flanagan and everything he does is really great.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for them to put Hush back on Netflix.
Do you think are they supposed to?
They are supposed to. I'd gone to a panel at Tribeca Film Festival last year, and I met Kate Siegel, and she was like, "Yeah, we're planning on like I think we're supposed to put it back on soon, but we want to tour it around to some movie theaters first."
Oh, cool.
So, no other news on that, but I don't know. So,
I wish Netflix would give his series like a special release on physical media because I've the like boxes and like I feel like they could do that in a really great way. And also people love collecting those things. I'm surprised Netflix hasn't taken advantage of that because it feels like an easy way for them to kind of give audiences what they want, but also cash in on it a little bit. But maybe we'll see it eventually.
I agree. I want all of his movies on physical media.
Me too.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And also it always worries me too when you have things on Netflix. I'm like, what if they take them off?
I know. That's why I like buy every movie that I like on DVD or Blu-ray, whatever's cheapest.
Yeah, I picked up 28 Days Later because of you, because I saw that it was part of my rent and I was like, I can't have that. So I went out and bought
Oh,
it.
good. Good. Spreading the word.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got both 28 Days and 28 Weeks Later. So I have those now. I haven't seen 28 Weeks Later in forever.
Oh, we rewatched it recently and it held up pretty well. We enjoyed it. That movie scared the crap out of me when it came out. I saw it in theaters and I saw it with a bunch of friends and I drove back. My parents live in like a pretty rural part of Winston-Salem in North Carolina. So I had to go through like a bunch of country roads and it was just like very dark and isolated. And I got home and they weren't there. And I called my mom and I was like, "You've got to come home. Like, I'm freaking out." And so I drove to my grandparents' at the house at the time. They lived up the street from my parents, and they had this old shed, and it had rusted on the front. But in my head, I was like, "Oh, that's blood, not rust." And I was having a full-blown panic attack. So, yeah, props to that director because that really terrified me at the time.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I can't remember if I saw it in theaters or not. I should look through my stubs. That's
Yeah,
also
it.
another thing that I miss is like physical ticket stubs.
Yeah, me too. I guess you don't get them anymore with like Fandango and buying online. Yeah.
Kids today, they don't know what they're missing.
They really don't. They have no idea.
So you're big into horror literature, correct?
Yes, that's right.
Who would you say are your favorite horror writers?
I have a few, so I'd probably say Grady Hendrix is definitely at the top of the list. Stephen Graham Jones, and Stephen's great because he's written a ton of books, so you have a lot of places to start. Josh Malerman and Paul Tremblay are usually like my go-tos for recommendations.
Nice. I've heard great things about all of them. I have not read any of them because horror literature just scares the crap out of me. Especially, I hear Paul Tremblay just has a ton of like animal gore. So,
Yeah, so does Steven too. I mean, I sometimes I have to, put it down for a second. I don't do well with animal gore, which always makes me feel bad saying that because I'm like, I'm fine with the people, but please don't hurt that dog or cat.
I know.
It's funny. I know, like I don't tend to get as afraid reading as I do watching.
Oh, okay.
And so it's always interesting to me for hear from, like you said, like, well, it's scary to read it, but you seem to like, I mean, obviously you watch a lot. I'm always curious, like, why people's brains are wired that way to like one is scarier than the other, but.
Because I know what I'm watching on the screen, but if I'm reading it, I can make up pictures in my head that are like the worst possible thing.
That's fair. I feel like I'm probably like making it less scary when I'm reading it, so I'm not just terrifying myself.
Oh, no, that's probably better than what I do. So I have one Stephen Graham Jones book, My Heart is a Chainsaw or whatever
Yeah.
it is. I had trouble getting into it. I don't know, because I just didn't like the main character. I didn't I just didn't
Yeah.
like her personality very much,
She
but I should go back.
it gets a lot better in books two and three. And I also
Okay.
have found that with Stephen's books in particular, for some reason, I like them a lot better. I mean, I like them in general. I like them a lot on audio, and I'm not usually an audio person for fiction, but he always has really great narrators for his audiobooks. The Only Good Indians is amazing on audio.
Oh, nice. That's
Yeah.
good to know. What would you say are your like all-time favorite horror books?
December Park by Ronald Malfi, and then Daphne by Josh Malerman. I have really bad anxiety, and the way Josh writes about anxiety is almost spot on for how my anxiety and panic attacks kind of look. And so, as weird as it sounds, it makes that kind of period in my life feel less alone because I'm reading about someone kind of going through it too. Absolutely terrifying. It's also very anxiety inducing, but just kind of like Josh's afterword on it is very thoughtful. And I think the way he handled it was really great. And then How to Sell a Haunted House by Grady Hendrix just ripped my heart out into a million pieces, but I really loved it. I love horror books that have a lot of soul in them. And I feel like we're seeing a lot of horror books come out that have that, where it's really scary, but also like very sad at times, and I like my horror to have a little bit of emotion with it. And if I can laugh during it, that's even better. But yeah, I think that those probably be like my top three. And I tend to recommend those a lot too. We have a book club where I work, and people are always like, "What should I read?" And I'm like, "You should read those, or you should read Bird Box." Like, I feel like everyone should read Bird Box and then see the movie.
Oh, cool. Yeah, no, I've seen the movie. I've never read the book. I should read the book. So I'm sure maybe that doesn't have too much animal gore in it.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. You should be good on that one.
Yeah. I think Grady Hendrix wrote My Best Friend's Exorcism.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, I read that a couple years ago before the movie came out. The movie was not very good, in my
The
opinion.
movie was not very good. No.
No, I should read more of his stuff though, but that one was very gory. Like reading about like the transformation, I was like grossed out. I should start a website where I tell everyone like the page numbers that they can skip of books when they don't want to read gore.
You should like they have like does the dog die? It can kind of be
Yeah.
like that. Like, does the gore
Yeah, for American Psycho, it'd be like half the book because I
happen?
have read
Oh my
American
gosh.
Psycho.
That is, yeah. And I know people who are like, that's my favorite book. I read it all the time. I'm like, how are you reading that all the time? Like, that is a heavy book to get through.
It is so unlike the movie. It's
Yeah.
amazing.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I didn't care for the movie very much. And the book is great. Like, it's very well written, but
Yeah.
it's a lot.
Oh. What are some books that are coming out in 2024 that you're excited for?
So I read just a few months ago, read Josh's book, Incidents Around the House, which was very, very terrifying. My husband's still making fun of me about it. Like, he'll be like, did you hear that noise? I think it was other mommy. So I'm really excited for people to be able to read that. Paul Tremblay has horror movie coming out, which is really
Yeah.
great. And also has a beautiful book. If you're a book collector, it has like the nice sprayed edges. And then Stephen King has a new book coming out this year, which is always exciting because I feel like, kind of like the king without putting up like words of horror. It's always really cool to see. And then Stephen Graham Jones has a book coming out, and I think actually next Tuesday on the 26th, the End to the Indian Lake trilogy, which I'm really excited about.
Oh, cool. I
Yeah.
should start reading Josh Malerman a little bit going back, but I got approved for an ARC of horror movie by Paul Tremblay.
Yeah,
So,
it's really good.
yeah. Is there any animal gore that I need to look out for?
Maybe a little bit, but not bad.
Okay. It's not like he's
Yeah.
ripping kittens open.
No, no, no kitten ripping.
Okay.
And Lisa is like, she loved horror movies. So if you get a chance to speak with her about it,
Okay.
like she, that, I mean, I loved it too, but Lisa was like, this is the best book. And it's really, really good. It's probably one of my favorites that Paul's written so far.
Awesome. Are there any horror novels that you really love that you don't hear people talk about a lot that you might want to mention?
So I think it's getting a little bit of buzz online, but Jonathan Jan's writing in general is really great, and I really hope people start picking him up more. I would recommend any of his books. Some of them are out of print, so they can be hard to find, but he's a great writer and he's the nicest person. So I really want people to start picking his books up and giving them a try. I just read Scott Carson's new book coming out, which isn't really, I mean, it's kind of horror. I'd say it's like horror thriller, and it's really great. And I feel like I haven't read any of his previous books, so I'm definitely going to pick them up after reading his newest. It's called Lost Man's Lane. So would really like to see more buzz around him too.
Awesome. So, besides reading fiction, do you write any horror fiction?
I don't think, I mean, I wish I could, but I don't think I'm creative enough to write. I'm envious of writers because I'm like, I can't come up with a story like that. I think it's really impressive that they're able to. I mean, what a dream job to be able to get to tell people
Yeah.
stories. But no, I don't write. I wish I had that skill set though.
Yeah, I always feel the same way. Writers are like so descriptive, and I'm like, I could never do that.
Me either.
So,
I feel like it would just be like, you'd be like, this is terrible. Like, no one would read it.
instead of like describing the field, I'd be like, there was a field.
Yeah,
You're in your
you're right.
brain. You can do the
Yeah.
work.
There's a big field and it had a tree in it.
So, as you mentioned before, you're an attorney. What is your
Yeah.
opinion on The Conjuring 3? And do you think you could ever use possession by the devil as a defense in court?
Oh, good question. I think you could try. And honestly, maybe depending on the state, you might be able to get away with it. Like, I'm in South Carolina, and who knows what's going to go on here? What might pass as a defense? Because I don't practice law in like a courtroom, or like I don't do litigation, anytime someone has like a courtroom scene, I'm like, that seems right. Like, I don't know if that's right or not. So, yeah, I mean, try it out. I don't know if it's going to hold up, but maybe it will. Maybe you'll get away with it.
We have to say this is not legal advice,
Yeah, it's
but
not legal advice. I'm not your attorney, and neither is Allison.
you live in South Carolina. Have you ever been to any haunted places in South Carolina that you can talk about?
I've never been to anywhere in South Carolina. I have done a lot of ghost tours, which are always fun because you never see any ghost. And I always build it up in my head. I'm like, this is going to be the time that we see a ghost. But if you are big into spooky things, Charleston's always great to visit
Yeah.
because there's a lot of haunted things there. And so is Savannah. And it's in Georgia, but if you're around the area, it's not too far to go to. And then I have been in the mountains of North Carolina before where I'm like, I feel like something bad is going to happen here. Nothing ever does, but it's kind of unsettling to be out there in all the woods and be by yourself. So it always feels like it's more haunted than probably what it is in the moment.
Awesome. Yeah, I want to go to Charleston and Savannah this year. I went to
You should.
Asheville a couple of years ago, so.
Asheville's great. Where we live, we're about an hour and a half from it. We try to go up like pretty frequently for just like a day trip, and it's always such a good time.
Oh, nice. Yeah, it's such a cool little city.
Yeah.
Are there any horror movies that you won't watch or that you won't watch ever again?
I probably will never watch, well, I definitely never watch The Strangers or the sequel. I don't even like this movie was really bad, or I thought it was bad, but like, do you remember The Hills Have Eyes?
I haven't seen it, but.
Yeah, I would not rewatch it. I don't do well with kind of like, I guess some horror movies kind of just feel like they're taking it a little too far of like, I don't know, that film movie felt like it was almost like kind of making fun of people to some extent. I don't know. It didn't sit well with me, but I'm not going to watch a home invasion movie. I can't do it. And also Nightmare on Elm Street. Like that's such a blind spot for me. I've never seen them, but I already have trouble sleeping. And so the idea of like watching something where someone's like in my dreams, like I can't do it. I wish I could though. Like I've heard such great things, but I can't do
That's totally fine. It's good to know your boundaries.
it.
Have you ever had any noteworthy experiences seeing a horror movie in theaters?
Probably just when I saw 28 Weeks Later, like that was actually really embarrassing how scared I was. And my parents to this day still give me grief about it. But that just really, I think the beginning of the movie when they're doing the camera and like the camera keeps shaking like back and forth, like something about that just really made me anxious from the get-go. So that was really terrifying. Oh, and one time we saw a Resident Evil movie in theaters. It was one of the more recent ones, like it was in like before the pandemic, and there weren't a lot of people in there, but there was a couple behind us, and they were so scared, like they were like yelling out loud, and like you could like feel them jump in their seats, and that was just a fun experience because it wasn't that scary, but it was nice to see some other people like scared.
That's cool. Are you going to go see 28 Years Later when it comes out?
I will. I'm excited about that. How about you? Are you gonna go
Oh,
see it?
yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think it'll be fun to see what 28 Weeks Later looks like, given that we've now lived through our own pandemic.
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
Oh, so what was your favorite horror movie of 2023? We are in March already, but
Yeah.
if you've had a favorite horror movie in 2024, feel free to say that. But there hasn't been much that's been good.
There hasn't been, has there? I really liked Thanksgiving. I mean, I know it was, it's Eli Roth, but I really, really liked it. I thought it was really fun. The jump scares were fun, the gore was fun. It was just a fun movie. Surprisingly fun. I did not expect it to be
Yeah,
that
definitely. Yeah, Eli Roth is growing as a writer. He didn't like drop any F-bombs.
fun. No, he didn't. I
Yeah.
didn't think about that.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's growing. I'm so proud of him.
He's making strides.
What horror movie are you most looking forward to seeing in 2024?
Oh, there's a few, but I think the one I'm most looking forward to because my husband's interested in it is Abigail. Have you seen the trailer for this? The
Oh yeah.
little the vampire child? I'm very excited for
Yeah, it
that.
should be. I hope it's really good. If it's not, I'm gonna cry and burn something down.
Me too. Even if it's not good, as long as it's like a good time, I'll enjoy it. Like as long as it's not really, really bad. We saw The Last Voyage of the Demeter last year, and it was also surprisingly good. And so I am
Oh,
like,
okay.
yeah, I have high hopes for my vampire films coming out. I feel like we're like in another vampire era again.
Okay, awesome. Because I had heard that that wasn't very good from one person. So maybe it was just that one person who didn't like it.
I liked
So.
it. I mean, it's slow. Like, I think if you go into it expecting like a fast-paced, kind of vampire, like that's not what you're gonna get, but I thought it was good.
All right, cool. Yeah, I still have to see it. I did not get to see that in theaters because I had COVID for like a week at
Oh.
the end of September when everything was coming out. So I missed a bunch of stuff that didn't stay in theaters for very long.
No, I think the strike kind of messed up their promotional plan too for it.
And then, no, I've never really liked vampires all that much, but like I'm getting used to them a little bit because it's the whole drinking blood that like grosses me out. But whatever.
Yeah, I could see that. And also the mechanics don't really seem to make sense with the fangs, because it's like that's not how you would drink blood if you were actually going to do it, I guess. But I don't know. I've always liked them. I think maybe it's just because too, I grew up watching Buffy, so I'm sure that adds to it. But
Are there any horror movies that you love that people generally don't like?
I don't think so. I mean, maybe I really, and this is really embarrassing actually, I really liked Wrong Turn, which is like not really a horror movie. It's kind of just like a thriller. And that movie's not great, but I really liked it. So maybe that would be my answer. That feels embarrassing to like tell people that I liked that movie.
I think it's definitely a horror movie, but are you talking the original or the reboot?
The reboot.
The reboot. Yeah, no, I really like that one too. I
Okay,
really,
good,
yeah,
good.
I like the turn that came, like she kind of took charge of her
Yeah.
life in the woods.
I
So,
like it.
yeah, I did too. If you could remake one horror movie, which one would it be?
Oh, I've thought about this a lot. I would want to redo a slasher, and I don't know which one, but I want to see more Final Boys. And so I like if we could take like a good slasher that hasn't been rebooted. Like I wouldn't want Halloween because like we've had a lot of
Yeah.
Halloween. But if we could make one and turn it to where it was a boy instead of a girl, I feel like I would really enjoy that.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Like give the guys a chance to make it
If you could see one horror movie on the big screen with an audience, go back in time or whatever, which one would it be?
through. I would love to go back and see the original Scream on the big screen, because I feel like that was such a, I mean, when it came out, I feel like horror was kind of in a weird spot for people, and to see people's reactions to this like really meta scary movie, I think would be really cool to see. I was too young to see it when it came out, like at the time and on the big screen, so I think that'd be really cool.
Yeah, definitely. I was also too young. I rented it the year after when it came out on VHS. Also still too young to watch it,
Think that's how I saw it too. I think my parents rented it and I watched it with them.
but
It was probably not the best idea.
So since it's Women in Horror Month, it's March. Let's end with this question. Who is your favorite final girl?
Sydney Prescott.
Good answer. Are you excited that she's coming back for Scream 7?
I am excited. I have some mixed feelings on it, just mainly with everything of kind of how it went down with some of the other cast members leaving.
Yeah.
But I am excited, and I good for her. I'm glad that she's, hopefully getting paid what she deserves. But I am really excited. I think it'll be a better Scream than some of the other maybe 5 and 6 were.
Oh, you didn't like 5 and 6?
I liked 6. I didn't love 5. Yeah. And I think I liked 6 just because it kind of took you out and like to a new city. I think maybe if it wouldn't have been set in New York, I wouldn't have liked it as much. But I don't know. There's something about 5 that I didn't love.
Yeah, that's understandable.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being here. Do you want to tell everyone where they can find you online?
Yeah, of course. I am on Instagram and Twitter at Amber K. Roy. My last name's spelled R-E-U, so Amber K. R-E-U. But thank you for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. And I will talk to you soon.
Sounds great. Thank you.
That's it for this week's episode of Who's There. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Amber Roy, and thanks again to Amber for coming on. I'll leave links to her socials in the show notes. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Who's There PC. Don't forget to check out our Patreon. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, horror movie recommendations, or you'd like to be a guest, shoot us an email at whostherepc@gmail.com. Until next time, stay scary and never ask who's there.